Okay, so it's Parshas Tzav, Tovshin Ayin Beis, Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, so let's begin with a short idea. I really need a sitter for this. In 1 second. I think I have 5 things I want to share with you. 5 ideas, some short, some drop longer. This week's parasha, we learn again, we continue learning about karbanos. Learn about the karban olah, we learn about a whole list of karbanos that were not mentioned in last week's parasha. And towards the middle of the parasha, before we come to the miluim, where Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn how Moshe Rabbeinu, he erected the Mishkan for 7 days. The last words of the parasha of Korbanos, at least in this section of Korbanos, are, let me see if I can find the pasuk. There's the Shlomim, Matos, Makir. Here it is. Zos HaTorah La'ila. I'm reading Pasuk Perek Zayin Pasuk Lamed Zayin. At the end of one of the major sections of Korbanos, Zos HaTorah La'ila La'mincha V'lachatos V'la'asham V'la'milim U'la'zevach Hashlamin. These are the laws for all the Korbanos. A long list of Korbanos in the Torah Pasuk summarized. In fact, this Pasuk, the Gemara says, actually, there's no need for the Pasuk to summarize the laws, the summary. Every word in the Torah is precise. The Pasuk told us the laws. You don't need to repeat them. These are the laws of the Oila and the Mincha and the Chatas and the Asham and the Lamiluim and the Zevach Hashlanim. What is the Pasuk here teaching us? So it has a famous Chazal that Bizman Hazeh, where we don't have a Beis Hamigdash, Kol Oisek B'Toiras Oila Ki Ilu Hikrev Oila. One of the reasons why we say Korbanos in Nusach HaTfilah before Shikvah Zimra is that Neshalma Farim Sifasayim. Instead of bringing the Korbanos, if you recite with Kavana and understanding the words of the parish of the Korbanos, it's as if to a certain degree you have offered a Korban to Hashem. If you learn the parasha, that's why there's a very big in learning Seder Kadoshim, or if you again reciting the Psukim every day in Nusach Tefillah, and we learn that from this pasuk. Zos, this extra pasuk, Zos HaTorah, Kol HaOisek, B'Toiras Oila, anyone that busies himself with the Torah, with the law, meaning studying the parsha and the Torah of an Ola, it's as if you have offered a carbon Ola. And the pasuk goes on to enumerate all of the Korbanos to teach us the same law is true, the same idea is true for the Mincha, for the Chatas, the Asham, the Lamiluim, the Zevach Hashlamim. And what's interesting is what comes first in this pasuk, the Ola. Zos HaTorah Lo Ola. The Gemara says, I don't have my notes here, but the Gemara learns from a number of Korbanos that when a person is obligated to bring a Chatas and an Ola, the first Korban one offers is a Chatas. Of a woman, a Yoledes, she brings a Chatas and an Ola Mitzorah. Whenever a person has an obligation to bring a series of Korbanos, a set of Korbanos, which includes a Chatas and an Ola, the first Korban is always a Chatas. The Gemara learns that out from a Yoledes, from a Mitzorah, where there it tells very precisely the Seder Havod, the first Chatas, then Asham. So why then in this Pasuk here, where we have the word Zos HaTorah, when the Pasuk summarizes all of the Korbanos, does it say first Lo Oila La Mincha V'La Chatas? The answer is because when a person is not actually bringing a Korban, when a person is doing the next best thing, Bizman She'ein Beis Hamidosh Kayim, and you have to recite, you always begin with the Ola. And that is why in our Nusachat, if you look carefully in the Nusachat Tefillah, whenever we recite Korbanos, we always refer, we recite, well, when there's a set of Korbanos, the Nusachat Tefillah, we always mention Ola first. And the reason is because when you bring a Korban Chatos, or you bring all the other Korbanos, part of it is eaten by the Kohanim. part of it is offered to Hashem, and part of it is given to the Kohanim. Bizman hazeh, no matter how much you learn and you study, you read the laws of Korbanos, you can't be mahane, you can't give benefit to the Kohanim. They're not getting anything from your tefillah. Your tefillah, they're getting nothing from it. So it's not, that is, cannot be possibly fulfilled in our times. Okay, so it's ki'ilu, it's the best you can possibly do. But when it comes to an ola, which is offered entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing is given to the Kohanim, at least not to eat, that you can fulfill more today than the other Korbanos. Because since that is something which is entirely to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't need you are burning the animal on the Mizbeach, so when you are being mispala, and you are fulfilling the Neshama Fodem Sifaseinu, we mention first the Ola, because the Ola goes entirely to Hashem, and the Kohanim are not losing out, because anyway, if we would bring a carbon Ola, they would anyway not get the meat to eat. So we might, so we start off with something which we can do better, which is more of a fulfillment of the nature of the meaning of the Ola. That's why in this Pasuk, when the Pasuk mentions the Torah, referring to a rem is what's going to be when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash and you have to be mispalel or learn, when you read the words of the Ola, that comes first, because that you are giving everything you got to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no one that is suffering the loss. No, this
in Vayikra,
what?
In Vayikra, in Vayikra.
So this the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about the Gemara's conclusions, the discussion. The Gemara concludes Zeh Binyan Av. By the Gemara learns from one of the parshas that even though sometimes it says Ola first, but when a practice, when a person brings a set of korbanos which includes a chatas and Ola, the chatas always comes first. But yet here in this pasuk, when we summarize and we have this extra pasuk from which we learn this halacha that if a person cannot bring a korban, you recite the words of the korban. It mentions the word Ola first. I mentioned the Kabbalah because in Ola, when you mispalel, then you it's better to say the Ola first, because that is something which is entirely given to Hashem and there is no loss to the Kohanim.
But when this, you say the Kabbalah in the morning, the Kabbalah is Kabbalah.
Because they're not together. There you say the
Mishnah first.
It's the, right, because that's the Mishnah, because there you're not bringing a set. There you're dealing with individual Kabbalahs. It refers to when you have a set. When you have a set in the parish of Ezel Mekoyman, so we're just listing, we're enumerating the various korbanos, so it follows, there's a reason for it. But it's, you're not offering the korbanos as a set.
You say Yerotzen.
Correct. But each korban is separate. Let's say on the Mo'adim, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you bring a set of korbanos for the Musafet, which includes a whole there's an Olos and there's a Chatos. When you bring a set of korbanos, then in practice the chatas comes first in the ola. But when you recite the psukim of a set, then you recite the ola first. In the ezel makamon, you're listing individual korbanos which are not part of a set. Just you're going down the list of korbanos. Now this idea is hinted to when we're coming up
by mitzvah and by your legis, you bring this.
You bring a set.
Understand it. Your obligation is a set.
The Musaf also. On Yom Tov, you bring a set of korbanos for the Musaf. It includes Olos and Achatas. So in practice, you bring the Achatas first, but when you recite the Psukim, you recite the Ola first. Now, this idea is a beautiful. I saw this just in one of my Sfarim. I don't remember which one. Maybe Gula Olam, but I have to be more careful and remember where I see things. But we're coming now to Pesach. On Pesach, we change the nusach before Birchos Kohanim, and we say this: "Say Orev Lefanecha Asir Asein." Right? Before we come to Ritzei, the shatz comes to the end of Usikar Sihil Ratzon Tamid Avodas Yisrael Anecha. And then the Tzibur right away says, "This say Orev." Now, well, look at the nusach. This Orev means maybe pleasant, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefanecha asir aseinu, our prayer, our entreaty, ki'ola uche karba. We first mention the ola, and then all the other korbanos, the chatos, the asham, the shlamim, Ona, please, Rachum, Brachamecha Horabim, Hashav Shchinascha Litzion Yirecha, and we store V'seder Hoavod. Why do we say V'seder? Bizman Hazel, we only have the ability Asira Seinu, our Tefillah. And our Tefillah, we mention Ola first. But when you will restore the Beis Hamidosh, then we store the Seder Hoavod. No longer will the Ola come first and then the other Kavanas. Will first the Chatos and then the other Kavanas. So it's very beautiful that you see this idea as mamish in this sentence in the Nusach HaTilav is Se'orev, first is Ola the Karbon, but with Mispel, we don't like this. We're not happy with this status of first Ola and then Karbon. We want Hashem to restore the real Seder, and the real Seder can only be restored when we have a real Beis HaMikdash, when we can do things in the right way. So let's go to another idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about Shumas, yeah.
I don't understand one thing. Your introductory remark was the importance of saying kabbalah.
Yes.
But why, in most shuls, the thing they do most is they sacrifice the kabbalah?
It's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, that's how the people have a limited attention span. People are in a rush. I have to go to work. Amcha yishol tshichem parnasa. And since kabbalah is not the ikar part of tefillah, it's something which is added. It is important. It's just that there are priorities. There are priorities. If a person can only do one thing, you say Shemon Esra. If you can do something more, so you say Berachas Kriyashma. If you can do more, you say Psuga de Zimra. And then there's Berachas Hashacha. So unfortunately, there are priorities. There's a hierarchy. What is important? And being that people are, it's very hard. The people are in a rush. It's a chaval. But it's not the way it's supposed to be, 100%. That, everything in life is like that. Okay, let's go over. Now we go over another idea. We have over here in this week's parasha, the sugya, the first mitzvah is Trumas Hadeshet. A very interesting mitzvah with the Kohen, the first thing done in the morning, the very first avoda. There was a foot race, we discussed this, and then there was a goal when things got out of hand. Who would be merit to do the avoda of removing the ash from the top of the Mizbeach? Every single the night, Kabbalahs would burn throughout the entire evening, and the Kohen would come and take a small amount of ash, take it down the Mizbeach, and deposit it on the side of the Mizbeach. Chazal tell us that there was a miracle, Bizman Shabbos, Tamil Shayekhayim, and there was the Shinu Ashara. A miracle happened with the ash, this small shovel full of ash, sunk into the earth. That's the way it was. And then after they took a token amount of ash from the service of the Mizbeach, then they sent up the cleaning crew. They came up with carts. With what do they call those cars of construction? The wheelbarrows? They came up with wheelbarrows, it appears. So something like that. And they had a cleaning crew, and they cleaned off the entire service of Mizbeach for the next day. But they first started with the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshet. In the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshet, it says the Kohen should dress himself in kisoynes, in midoibat. When the Kohen does the avod, the Torah reminds you the Kohen should wear the digde kahuna. And he should wear the midoy bad umichneseva. Midoy bad means a tunic. He should wear his mido. The Targum translates his shirt, his tunic. Mido means his tunic. Bad, which is made from linen. There's a very important halacha that Chazal learned from this word mido. The Torah is here using an unusual word to describe the garment of the Kohen, the word mido. It should say, the Kohen should wear his kesonis. It should say the Kohen should wear the kesonis. Why does it change the word kesonis to the word mida? So Chazal learned, it's teaching us in halacha that the clothing of the Kohanim must fit perfectly. Mida means measurement. If the tunic is too long or too short, then he has not fulfilled the requirement of wearing the big day kahuna. Has to be perfectly tailored. This is the requirement. No schlumps in the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone wore designer bigdei kahuna that was just perfect. That's what we learned. The question is, what's going on? From all of the avodos that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, why did the Torah have to teach us this halacha here specifically by Trumas Hadeshet? Trumas Hadeshet is the most insignificant avoda in the Mikdash.
Cleaning job.
His
best suit.
So in fact, he doesn't wear the best. That's another halach. He wears something which is not necessarily the best. It's a second grade. But still, if the Torah wants to tell you the importance of having perfectly tailored clothing for the Kohanim, and if it's not, then they're not Yotza, from the in this halacha, is that where you would, if you were writing the Torah, is that where you would teach us this halacha? Certainly not. You would teach us an halacha in a different area, a different section of a different avoda. So the answer is, we have to understand what is the avoda of, what exactly is the avoda of Trumas Hadesh. Trumas Hadesh is not just stop a cleaning job. The Farshim learns that Sasema specifically elaborates, Trumas Hadesh is an avoda that is the transition, the connection of yesterday to today. Every day is a new opportunity, a new day, a new avoda. But in life, you have to grow. You have to build upon your previous experiences. You don't just look at the year is 365 days. Every day is a separate day, and one day has nothing to do with the next day. Each day you build upon the previous day. The Trumas Hadeshen is where you remove the ash of the korbanos that has been burning the from yesterday in preparation to make room for today. The avod of Trumas Hadeshen is the transition, the connection, the link between yesterday and today. That's number one. Number two, what is the purpose of wearing clothing? Clothing define a person. Clothing are called mechubadai, something which gives me honor. A uniform. Person wears a uniform. If you're a captain of a ship, if you work for the post office, whatever you do, your uniform defines who you are. Kohanim have a uniform. It defines who they are. The reason why the Torah taught us the law of perfectly tailored clothing with regard to the law of Trumas Hadesh is teaching us a very powerful lesson. A person is defined by how he connects his days. There are people that have very good days. They're very successful. Today is a great day. This day is a great day. Yesterday was a great day. The day before. But next week is going to be different. Next week, I'm on vacation. Next week, I'm doing this. Or that was... The avod in life is not just to have good days. It's to connect the days. It's to build. Every day should build upon the previous day. This defines a person. Everyone has here and there good days. And everyone has here and there bad days. But you have to put them all together and make a unit to build upon. Therefore, the Torah is telling us, a Kohen, what is a Kohen? A Kohen is a teacher. He's a he's a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a holy person. A Kohen is defined, the clothing defined, this is the Kohen. The clothing defines who you are, it's your uniform. The way you define yourself is the way you link one day to another day. This is the real litmus test of defining the essence of a person. Are you growing, or are you just passing through life? If you're passing through life, a year has 365 days. If you're growing, you're building. Every day is building upon another day. And that's where we will see your midah, your measurement. You will see who you are. So again, this is an idea which comes together. So let's go to another idea. This is the Shabbos HaGadol. Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? So we know in Shulchan Aruch, it tells us, because it was on this day, it was on the 10th day of Nisan, where Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael to take for themselves a sheep and to tie it to the post of their bed. And there was a very great danger because the sheep was the idol of the Egyptians. And the Jewish people could have been killed. They could have been viewed as provoking the Egyptians. And a miracle happened, and nothing happened to the Jewish people. So as a zecher for this, every year, we always, on the 10th day of Nisan, we commemorate the miracle. Oh, but the 10th day of Nisan is not always Shabbos. 10th day of Nisan can fall out during the week. That's right. So Chazal said, in order to give the day more significance, we will celebrate this miracle on the Shabbos before Pesach. Even though it's not necessarily the 10th day, it's a zecher, but it's really a zecher for what happened on the 10th day of Nisan. It's called Shabbos HaGadol. Why the word Godol? What is the significance of the word Godol? So I saw Avraham Shur, in the Sefer HaLekech VeHalav of one of his Sfarim, he writes, where else do we find the word Gadol? We find it by a Bar Mitzvah boy. Bar Mitzvah, when a child becomes 13 years in one day, he's called a Gadol. Why is he called a Gadol? Because it's the day that he's mekabel the old mitzvahs. Until now, the child was exempt. Katan. What does he mean, katan? I'm not responsible. I have no obligations. I have no obligations. When you zeh katan gadol yeh, and yiritz Hashem will become a gadol. What is it when a child becomes bar mitzvah? Today is the day he accepts upon himself a yoke, an obligation. Shabbos HaGadol, the anniversary of the 10th day of Nisan, is the time when is where it got serious. They were living in Egypt. Miracles were happening, the 10 Makos. But when Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, now it's time. It's time to get serious. We're leaving Egypt in 5 days. Take for yourself the Karban Pesach. I said, Moshe Rabbeinu, if we take, you know, this is the point beyond return, we take the Karban Pesach, they'll kill us. This is their idol. That's right. It's time to accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven. A Shabbos HaGadol is a zecher that in the history of Klal Yisrael, it is the day where Klal Yisrael was mekabel the ol, they were mekabel the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. And the proof to this is, what else happened on the 10th day of Nisan? The 10th day of Nisan was the day when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. They crossed over the Yarden after 40 years in the Midbar. In Sefer Yehoshua, we learn, they crossed the Yarden. What did they do on the 10th day of Nisan after they crossed the Yarden? They were makabel the barachos and the klolos of Sefer Parshas Kisavon. Har Grizim. On Har Grizim and Har Evel, there are a series of barachos and klolos. They all entered the mountain, they answered the shvatim, and they answered Omein. They were makabel the olos, the curses and the blessings of Kisavon. They answered Omen. It was a Kabbalah. On when? On the 10th day of Nisan. On the same day when the Jewish people took for themselves the Karban Pesach. That's Shabbos. Shabbos, the Shabbos of Pesach, getting serious. Shavuot Shechalba. It's this week. It's this coming week is Pesach. It's time to take it seriously, extend upon yourself the yoke of what Pesach is all about. Another example. Where else do we find the word Gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the sneh burning. So, Madu lo yivah sneh? Why the sneh? And how did Moshe describe the scene? Hamare ha-gadol hazeh. Moshe saw, he viewed the scene that the sneh is burning as the mare ha-gadol. Why was it mare ha-gadol? Okay, so they may, but one, you can You can play with this a lot, but on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the yoke of leadership. Hashem recruited Moshe Rabbeinu at the sneh, and that sneh was the Mare HaGadol. What was in the Mare HaGadol? Through that vision, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the yoke of leadership, his mission in life to transform the Jewish people. Gadol is always associated with the acceptance of a yoke. Okay, there's more. I'm going to give you a half-baked vart of how the Mar HaGadol refers to the Kabbalah, but it was the same day, and that was the catalyst for Moshe Rabbeinu's Kabbalah of his mission. It's the Mar HaGadol. The Mar Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe his role, his leadership. You're going to serve, and you're not going to be consumed by the fires. You're going to be the leader. This is what I want. This is the Mar HaGadol. This is going to be the spark for your leadership, and Moshe accepted it. That is what Shabbos HaGadol is all about. It's a day where we become Gedolim. We accept the yoke of Kodesh Baruch Hu of what is about to occur at the end of the Pesach. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's talk about this week's parashas. We have the parasha of Toda. Now, it's also Shabbos HaGadol. In many years, more often than not, Shabbos HaGadol is parashas Sav. Now, let's discuss the little piece of the Haggadah. Haggadah is next week, so I think that's parashas Sav. We can discuss this idea now. One of the four questions of the Manishtana is, Shemchol ha-leilois anu echlim chametzu matzah, ha-layla hazeh kulo matzah. All nights of the year we eat chametz and matzah. Tonight, only matzah. Really? Is it really true? Every night of the year you eat chametzu matzah? Most people don't eat bread altogether. And when you do eat, you're always eating chametz. You're not having chametz u-matzah. What is going on? What does this mean? Shavachol, Halelois, Anu, Achlim? Pasha the question. Okay.
You have discretion.
Now, the score is okay. So, what is the mean chametz mas? So the answer is that one of the answers given by the Abarbanel is that the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, to a certain degree, is a Korban Todah. A person brings a Korban Todah. That's the sixth parasha. This sixth parasha, we learn all about the Korban Todah. It's one of the most complex korbanos in the Torah. Bring 40 breads, 30 are matzah, and 10 breads are chametz. The only time, besides the Shtei Lechem, where you bring chametz. Very strange. The Torah is very clear. No chametz. In the Beis HaMikdash, there is no chametz. There is no chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, over here, when it comes to Korban Todah, you bring 40 breads, a lot of bread, and 30 are matzah, 10 are chametz, and you only have one day, one night to eat it. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we obligated the Jewish people to bring a communal Korban Todah. You have all four events. They were sick. People, the koyach of refuah, a person brings a Korban Todah when he recovers from the illness. The koyach of refuah comes from Mitzrayim. The Jewish people pass through the Yam Suf. When a person travels on the seas, he asks for a Korban Todah. When a person travels in the desert, you bring a Korban Todah. They traveled through the desert for 40 years. And they were a person that's released from prison, incarceration, you bring a Korban Pesach, you bring a Korban Todah. They were locked up as slaves in Egypt. They were released from bondage. All a person brings a Korban Todah for four things. Matir Asurim, Rezei Cholim, for Holchei Hayom, and Holchei Midbar. All four events happened to the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. They were released from bondage. They were healed from their illness, spiritual illness, physical illness. They crossed through the desert and they passed through the Yam Suf, so they are required to bring a Korban Todah. The Korban Pesach is the Korban Todah. That's what the Korban Pesach really is. And just like Korban Todah is only for one day and one night, the Korban Pesach also was sacrificed by day and must be eaten at night, that very night, until Chatzos. There's a similarity in the time frame. Now, it's not eaten by day and night, but at least the time frame of the offering, the sacrifice done by day, and it's eaten the following night, similar to a Korban Todah, which only has, you have one day, a limitation of a day and a night. Yeah.
The things that happen, the four things, not all of them happened before they ate the first
Korban Pesach. In a Chanan, you're right. In a Chanan, it's part of a process. You're right, it's not an exact Korban Todah. You're right, it's not an exact Korban Todah, but the theme is there. It's not exactly, but it's the same concept. Now, so if it's a Korban Todah, what should we bring? We should have chametz matzah. 30 breads, just like a Korban Todah, there are 30 breads of matzah, and there are 10 breads of chametz. There should be also some, our Korban Pesach should include some chametz. That's the question of the child. Ma nishtana halayla zemi kol halelos? Shevichol halelos, throughout our entire life, in Golos, or the Lelos means the dark times, when a person suffers, and it's dark, and he has a tzora, Rechmona looks funny, sick, or he is a captive, he's taken as a prisoner for no reason, or he travels over the sea, travels over the Atlantic, or he's on a ship, he's in the desert. So what do you do? Shabbachol halelos, if we survive, anu oichlim, we bring a Korban Todah, and the Korban Todah has chametz u'matzah. There is 10 breads of chametz and there's matzah. But yet the Korban Pesach that we eat on Pesach, which is a Todah, and it's also accompanied by bread. Al matzos umerorim yochluha. You eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah. But where's the chametz? Where is the chametz in the Todah of the Korban Pesach? Why in this Korban, unique type of Korban Todah called the Korban Pesach, is there no chametz? Why is it kulo matzah? So we have to understand what is chametz. Let me tell you a beautiful, beautiful word from the Chassam Sefer to understand this side. It's short. It's not very long. Deal with the mincha. It says by the mincha, a mincha has to be matz. Every mincha that is offered by him is always matz. It's a very, very, very strange pasuk. Very difficult really to understand the pasuk. The pasuk says, by the law of the mincha, let me see if I can find the pasuk quickly. This in this week's parsha, we learned about the Korban Mincha. Perik v'pasuk zayin. The zois taras ha mincha. Hakrei v'asav ben Aaron lufnei Hashem el pnei amizbech. V'heirim b'menu b'kumtzol misalos hamincha mishama. V'eis kol havena asher mincha v'itir hamizbech. Reich nukish askoros l'Hashem. Tahana seres mimena. Whatever is left over from the kemitza, you take a kemitza. Yoichlu Aharon uvonav. Matzos teachel b'makom kadosh. Matzah. You only eat matzah. Every mincha must be matzah. B'chatzar oel mod yochlo. Lo se'ofe chametz. No chametz. Every mincha has to be prepared matzah. And then it's chelkom, their portion, the portion, the leftover part of the mincha. Only a kemitza is given, put on the mizbeach. Everything else is given to the kohanim. Chelkom, nasati osa meishoi, I've given it to the kohanim from my fire offering. Kodesh kodeshim yikachatas v'chashat. Okay. So the question, what is the middle of your chelkom in the middle of this pasuk? So Rashi tells us, makes a drasha, he connects the words lo sefer chameitz with the word chelkom. This is a drasha. Rashi already takes note that the pasuk does not flow well, and chelkom means even the shirayim, the leftover part of the mincha that's given to the kohanim, may not be prepared as chametz, must be prepared matzah. Okay, that's the Peshut Shal Mikra, that's Rashi, so Gemara. There's a Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer says, we know that this is a Kabbalistic idea, and as you all know, Ein Lanu Esek Ben Nistaros, nothing about Kabbalah, but just it's something, it's very, very down to earth, just this idea. Everything you do, everything that you do in Ruchnis, you always have to give the Satan a little bone, give the Satan a gift. So it shouldn't bother you. You have to say, what does that mean? I have no idea. Mayim achronim. Why do you wash mayim achronim? Because the satan, he sees you eating a good meal, you bench, you wash, you say divrei Torah, he gets jealous. You give him a bone. How do you give him? You wash mayim achronim, the water goes in the ibul, you pour the water. I don't know what that means. You always got to give the satan his little portion. The soher la'zazel yom ha'kippurim. Give the satan, give him some bone, unless it shouldn't bother us.
What bone do you mean by mayim achronim?
The mayim achronim. The mayim achronim goes to the ibud. You pour the water over your hands, small, teeny amount of water, and it falls on the floor, it goes in the garbage. That's a gift for the satan.
Really?
I have no idea what that means. Okay, it's posh, because the melech sedomis, there's salt, it's sakana, but al pi kabbalah, there's an inyan that the reason why you wash mayim achronim is you have to give a little gift to the sitra achra. You got to give him a gift, the sor la'azazel. I have no idea what this means. Really not. When it comes to a karban, the sultan is a little jealous. Wow, offering a karban. You got to give the sultan something. You know, you got to give him a little gift. What's the gift you would give the satan? Chometz. Chometz is the seor shem. We all know that from just from childhood. The chometz. Yes, Gainter. What's chometz? Is the yetzahara. It's bloated. It's gaiva. You let it sit around and wait. Delay. Laziness. I don't even know what all these things mean, but we all know. Everyone knows whatever it means. The chometz. Chazal tell us. Is the seor shabiis, it's the yeast, it's the yetzahara. Chametz is the yetzahara. So over here, you bring the carbon, so Hashem says, according to the Halakha Sam Sefer, it is the pasuk, a very beautiful drush, which has a lot of meaning. I'll show you a very practical, very beautiful idea in this in one moment. But the Chassam Sefer says, you offer a mincha, the whole mincha is being burnt on the mizbeach, or the kohanim are eating it, so right away you're going to ask, what about the satan? Where does he get his portion? He also wants a bone from this beautiful carbonate. So you would think, so we'll take a little bit of full flour, we'll let it turn into yeast, and we'll let it turn into chametz. No, Hashem says, no. Don't get carried, don't give him more than he deserves. Lo se'afe chametz. Chelkom, their portion, the portion of the satan, the sitra achra, Nosati osa meishoi. I've given it from the fire. What do I mean from the fire? The smoke. When you burn something, what is there? Is there smoke? Something which is pure has no smoke. Gas and things that are pure. When there's psoles, things don't burn well. It produces a byproduct of waste. Smoke is a wasteful byproduct. It's not something which is pure. That is the portion of the sota. The fact that when you burn the kmitza on the mizbeach and it produces some degree of smoke, that is the gift to the satan chelkam, the portion of the satan, nasati osam eshoi, good enough for the satan. You don't have to go and give him a money yofe. You don't have to go give him a nice portion of a chametz. No chametz. The satan got his chelik, he got the smoke. Okay, but what do we learn from this, incidentally? This very nice drush. Okay, this is a drush. Okay, this is not obviously, you can't say this over, you get into trouble, you say all things like this, but then, even that's what I'm doing right now. But what is the point? One is, chametz is the ultimate gift to the satan. That's and the drush is telling us, don't give chametz to the satan. Give him just some smoke, that'll be enough. May he show the fire, that's, but don't give him this. But it would have been the ultimate gift to the satan. Now, let's discuss a carbon todah. A carbon todah is the only carbon when you bring chametz. You actually give chametz. That means you give the satan a money yofeh. What is that all about? So the answer is very simple. When a person, Rachman al-Islam, is in an eighth tzara, a person is sick, deathly ill, and miraculously he survives. So what do? You go to shul, and make a big kiddush, and you bench goymel, and you thank Hashem. You make a, you bring today a modern day carbon toida. That's what you do today. You make a kiddush, make an announcement, you make a party, sudas toida, and you birchas hagoymel, and you make a party, and you celebrate. You got a person, he traveled over the seas, he was in a sakana, today's Rosh Hashanah, go on a plane, you make a bracha, not make a bracha, that's another issue, whatever. But we're talking about a real sakana. Now what else do you do? You have a discussion, everyone's coming in, wow, you're sick, you survived. And what else do you say? But Rabbi Sai, it's not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim upon me, I had the best doctor. The best doctor. And because I went to the best hospital and they used the most advanced technology and I had a friend and he did this. You know why I survived? Because of my chokhmah, my friends and the best doctor. He does surgery for all the celebrities in the best hospital. Really? I thought the Ribbono Shel Olam saved your life. Yeah, ruba deruba. 75%. 75%. 25%. You know, Eibush the Firzach Nevelt, ruba deruba. I also have a chelek. It's also that when you say that I had the best doctor, and you should go for that, no question of the end. That's the way the world works. It has to be like that. If you're going to tell a person when you have to thank Hashem because this that you survived is 100% the Ribbono Shel Olam, it can have a bad effect on a person. A person, you have to go in stages. You can't just right away recognize that the Shbaruch Hu does everything. That's the way the world is. There's also, you do your Hishtalus and you take credit for your Hishtalus. You thank Hashem. 75%. There are 40 breads. 30 are matzah. 10 are chametz. You give the Ribbono Shel Olam 75%. You give the Satan, he gave me his 25%. It's the doctor's credit that I'm alive. I'm the best lawyer. I got out of jail because I had the best, not because the Ribbono Shel Olam put a machshava in the judge. I had the best lawyer. That's why. How did I travel across the Atlantic? El Al, I survived. You give the Satan his 25%. And that's the way the world works, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it has to be, because you can't be an extremist. You have to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person also to... You understand what I'm saying. I have to elaborate. That's true. Yes, that's the way Hashem the carbon is, because you, if a person would be told, you have to, when something happens, it's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is only the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you can't jump to such a madrigo where you mark your that everything that happens in this world is 100%.
Ribbono Shel Olam helped me pick the best doctor.
Exactly.
On my own, I couldn't pick.
Exactly, the best doctor. But
then you were back to 100%.
No, but that's not the way. That's
the way
deep down a person's mind. You're doing your hishtalos. There's still a degree of hishtalos. That's all fine and true when it comes to b'chol halelos. But when it comes to Pesach, the higher standards, when it comes to the creation of Klal Yisrael, the very beginning, the Shoyrish of Klal Yisrael, there are higher standards. Shabchol Halelois Onu Oichlim Chamitsumatsa. Ebishtuf is the Velt Ruba de Ruba. 75%, 25% will give the Satan. It's the doctor's credit. But Bahalaila Hazeh Kulamatsa. There's no Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. There's no doctor. There's no lawyer. There's no pilot. There's no the pilot. When you go on the plane, I'm your pilot, and everyone claps. You give JetBlue. But if, you know, there's something to it. People, the market, the pilot stands there when the flight is over. He wants it. I flew this plane. You know, I was trained. It's my credit. I got you over the Atlantic. That's a pretty big feat. Don't you think I deserve a compliment? And they're standing there. They're waiting for that compliment. They want that compliment. I'm the captain of the plane. I got you over the Midbar. I got you over the Yam. That's right. You're giving a compliment. But halayla hazer kulo matza. There's no captain. There's no Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no doctor. There's no lawyer. It's kuloi matza. Hashem has a higher standard for his desire that we recognize ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy shliach, ani v'loy sarf. It's kulo ribayu shalom. Shabachol elos chamitzu matza, but not the night of Pesach. So it's the very idea you put together the carbon toida in this week's Parsha Sav, in contrast to the Haggadah, you say after Mincha, leading up to Shabbos and leading to Pesach, is the difference between the Toida of the whole year and the Toida of the night of Pesach. Okay, we'll stop here.